Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you as we gather together on this day to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I know that for the last couple of Sundays, we had announced a congregational meeting for this Sunday. We will not be having that. That was for the purpose of ordination. Unfortunately, the person who is being ordained today could not be here this particular Sunday, so we will not be having our congregational meeting for this Sunday. But please be on the lookout. We will have the people who are to be ordained, and we'll be calling you to for that. So it's not something that we forgot. It's just that they're not here. Just to remind everyone, well, to remind those who have been coming out to Bible study, we have not had Bible study for the last couple of weeks for various reasons. Unfortunately, we will not be able to have it this Wednesday either because I am will be away. But we will be having Bible study. It is it's not something that is forgotten, but we will not have it this week. So be on the lookout for that. Please also just take the time to read your bulletin as well as go to our webpage to stay abreast of all that is happening here at Olney Presbyterian Church.
Our Old Testament lesson comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verses 1 through 7. Listen now for what God has to say to you. But now thus saith the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created in my glory, whom I formed and made. This is the word of the Lord.
Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke. We'll be reading from the third chapter of Luke's gospel, beginning at verse 15 and then reading through 17, skipping down through verse 21 and then reading through 22. So at this time, let us hear God's word for us. As the people were in expectation, and all men questioned in their hearts concerning John, whether perhaps he were the Christ, John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the thong of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat until his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form as a dove. And a voice came from heaven, Thou art my beloved Son. With thee I am well pleased. The word of the Lord. Amen. Can everyone hear me? Okay, is this sounds? Always takes me a minute to get used to being in here different. I'm so used to, you know, you get used to the being in the big sanctuary, and then all of a sudden you're kind of in a small, cramped place. And I'm kind of a formal person anyway, so, you know, I kind of like the distance, but then, you know, when everybody's up on you. So a little bit distant, trying to find my way here this morning, but it's good being here this morning. This is a special Sunday. We are installing our class of officers. We were going to have an ordination, as I mentioned, but again, the person who was being ordained could not be here today, so we'll have that ordination sometime in the near future. But this Sunday is always a good time for all of us to remember our ordinations. And when I say our ordinations, I'm not just talking about those of us who are called to particular ministries, such as pastor or deacon or elder or trustee, but I'm talking about all of us who've been baptized, because that is part of what baptism means. It means being ordained. It means being ordained as sons and daughters of God. That's what Jesus' baptism was about. It was about his ordination. People often ask why Jesus had to be baptized if he was without sin. Did Jesus commit some kind of sin, they wonder? Well, Jesus did have sins. They weren't his sins, they were our sins. They were the sins of Israel, they were the sins of you, they were the sins of me. It was our sins that caused Jesus to go down to the River Jordan to be baptized. He went there to be in solidarity with all of us sinners. But he also went there to begin his ministry. He went there because baptism is his ordination as God's beloved. We are, as we said last week, in the season of Epiphany. And as we said last week, Epiphany is a sudden revelation. It's sudden, something that is suddenly being revealed. And that's what the Lord's happens at the Lord's baptism. It's one of the major epiphanies in the gospel narratives. It is at the Lord's baptism that his identity is revealed. And we are told that a wonderful epiphany unfolds. The heaven is opened, and the Holy Spirit comes down in the form of a dove. And then, of course, the voice, the divine voice revealing that Jesus is the beloved Son of God. We're reminded this morning that Jesus, of course, is the unique Son of God. And as it relates to Jesus, it means different things. First of all, it means that Jesus is the second person of the Trinity. We all know that. He is the only begotten Son. Jesus is the one who was with God from the very beginning. He is God with us. That's what it means for Jesus to be the Son of God. He was the Word that was there at the beginning. And so he is the Son of God, the only begotten Son. But secondly, Son of God language is also kingly language. It's language identifying Jesus as Israel's king, as Israel's Messiah. And that's what everyone was waiting for and anticipating there at the River Jordan. They were waiting for the coming king. They were waiting for the coming Messiah. And so when Jesus is identified as the Son of God, he is being identified as the long-awaited Messiah. He is being identified as Israel's king. And of course, that's only about Jesus as well. Jesus is Israel's king. He is the only king. The king not only of Israel, but the Messiah and king of the whole world. But the Son of God language is also language of belonging. It is language identifying Jesus as belonging to someone and being loved by someone. It's language identifying Jesus as belonging to God and being loved by God. And that's true not just of Jesus, but it's also true for all of us. It's true of me and you. It's true for all of us who've been baptized. We are ordained and adopted sons and daughters of God. We belong to God. We are loved by God. We are people who are loved into loving. Have you ever been loved into loving? Have you ever been loved and claimed by someone special? I was reading the story this week about a man who had quite a reputation in his young days. His younger days, he used to love to sow his wild oats, and he was quite a scoundrel all over the place, very difficult to live with, but then one day he changed and became a different person. And people ask him what it was that caused him to change, what it was that made him do a 180 degrees. And he said it was because he had met his wife. For some reason, he said, she loved me despite all of my shortcomings. She loved me even as I was the scoundrel that I was. And because she loved me, it made me want to more and more love her, and it made me want to more and more be the kind of person that she would be proud of. And so I began to slowly change. In our baptisms, we are claimed and loved by someone special. We are claimed and loved by God. And to be God's beloved sons and daughters in the world, for the world, to be loved by God is a call to love God and to love the world, to love our neighbors as God loves the world. I've always wondered if anyone else down at the River Jordan that day when Jesus was baptized, experienced the epiphany. Did anyone else see the heavens being opened up? You know, if I was there, I would try to see what was in heaven, you know, and try to see if I could see a pearly gate or a golden street or whatever. But I wonder if anyone else there saw it, they saw the heavens open. I wonder if anyone saw the dove coming down, the Holy Spirit coming down in the form of a dove. Did anyone else see that? Was anyone else moved by that? And perhaps most importantly, I wonder if anyone heard the divine voice itself. If anyone heard the voice say who Jesus was. This is my beloved son. This is the son that I love. In him I am well pleased. I'm afraid the text doesn't tell us any of that. It doesn't tell us if anyone else experienced the epiphany. But I guess the important thing is that Jesus heard it. Jesus heard that he is the beloved Son of God. He heard that he is loved by God. He heard that he is pleasing to God. And I don't know, but I suspect that Jesus probably needed to hear that. I know we have this understanding of Jesus as being God with us, but I think maybe Jesus needed to hear that. At that very moment that he was beginning his ministry, he needed to hear and be reminded of who he was. In fact, I suspect that Jesus needed to hear it again and again and again. He needed to hear it when he was alone in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights being tempted by the Satan. He needed to hear it in those moments when he was rejected by people, as he often was. He needed to hear it when people misunderstood him, as they did in his hometown when he went there to preach his first sermon. They wanted to kill him. He needed to hear it when he was misunderstood. And he needed to hear it when he was alone in the Garden of Gethsemane. He needed to hear who he was. And we need to hear it too. We need to constantly be reminded of who we are, that we are beloved sons and daughters of God. We become that when we are baptized. We become ordained sons and daughters of God. I think we ought to face it. Being a son and daughter of God is not easy. In fact, it's sometimes downright difficult and scary. 30 years ago, when I was in seminary, I remember watching a baptism. It was a baptism ceremony at the church I was attending at the time. The person being baptized was a 5-year-old boy. And the boy was all decked out in a nice little outfit that had been bought for the occasion. His relatives were all there standing in front of the church, and the pastor explained to the congregation that baptism was a dying and rising with Christ. And then the pastor stirred the waters in the baptismal font, and with his hand he reached out to touch the boy's head. But the boy screamed real loud, "No!" Started crying and turned to his mother and grabbed his mother's legs to get away from the pastor. Until the mother was very embarrassed, and she and others were trying to console the boy, assure him that everything was going to be all right. And so the pastor tried again one more time to baptize the boy, and he got close and the boy screamed even louder, "No!" Started crying again. And I felt bad, of course, felt sorry. I felt sorry for the boy's mother. She was obviously embarrassed. Felt sorry for the pastor. I said, "I hope that never happens to me." An appreciation for infant baptism. But suffice it to say that the baptism was aborted on that Sunday. But I'd be willing to bet that young man is probably a pastor somewhere today. But I didn't blame him for being a little afraid of baptism. Sometimes I think we take it too casually. The Danish philosopher and theologian Søren Kierkegaard used to make fun of and mock some of the families that would come forward for baptism because he thought they didn't quite understand how important that it was. For them, it was just a nice little rite, but he wanted them to understand how important that baptism was, that baptism is. That when we are baptized, we become ordained. We become ordained sons and daughters of God. We are given a new identity and a new vocation. The fact is that to belong to God is not a free pass from the setbacks and disappointments that plague everyone else. In fact, to be a son and daughter of God is an invitation to be called deeper into the suffering and pain and brokenness of the world. That's what the incarnation is about. And that's what Jesus' baptism is about. In his baptism, Jesus was being called deeper into the world's brokenness, deeper into the world's pain, deeper into the world's suffering. I know some people believe that when they become a Christian, everything is going to be all right, or everything should be all right, or they're going to get a free pass, but no. To be a baptized son and daughter of God, you have to be called deeper into the pain of the world. And let's face it, the world is kind of a scary place right now, isn't it? Fires, rampaging and destroying whole cities, floods, hurricanes, all kinds of natural disasters, not to mention political turmoil and social turmoil. God only knows what's around the corner. We don't know. God doesn't promise that we'll be protected from any of it, but what God does promise is that no matter where we might find ourselves, No matter where we might be, God promises that we are not alone, that we belong to him. That's what he says, you are precious in my sight. You are precious and I love you. You are mine. You're all mine. And that's something we all need to remember, no matter where we might be. We need to remember it if we are in the hospital ward. We need to remember it if we're in the unemployment line. We need to remember it when we're feeling low and defeated. We need to remember it when we're feeling alone. We need to remember in every instance and situation who we are, that we belong to God, that we are his, and that he has promised that he will get us through, that nothing will overwhelm us, that he will see to it that we get through on the other side. I think the darkest moment in Jesus' life, of course, is when he was hanging on the cross. It's a dark moment for him. Not simply because he's suffering, but it's a dark moment for him because for the first time, I think, he didn't discern God's presence with him. I think in all the rest of his ministry, he kind of knew God was there. He knew who he was. He felt God's presence. But I think for the first time, he didn't discern God's presence with him. He strained and looked for God, but all there was darkness. He strained to listen for God, to hear God's voice again, but all there was the silence. Have you ever experienced that? Have you ever been looking for God, longing for God, wanting God, and all there is silence? I know some spiritual giants talk about the long, dark night of the soul. People like Mother Teresa talked about God's absence, longing for God, and only experiencing God's absence. And I think that's what Jesus experienced on the cross. So maybe for the first time he was wondering, does he really belong to God? Does God really love him? That was on Friday, of course. And on Sunday, God had raised Jesus from the dead. God had done the very thing that God had promised. God had shown him through. God had shown his precious son, his loving son, that on the other side of death is life. And that's what God promises each and every one of us. What God has done for the Lord Jesus Christ, God promises to do for each and every one of us. Don't be afraid, he says. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the fire. Don't be afraid of the overwhelming waters. Don't be afraid of the power of death. Don't be afraid. You are mine. You belong to me. You are mine. And I love you. I love you. I will redeem you. I will save you. So whatever you're going through this morning, feel and know that love. Know that God loves you and that God is with you. And there is nothing in all of creation that can separate you from the love of God, because you are a son and daughter of the Holy One. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we come to you this morning recognizing that we sometimes feel lost, recognizing that we sometimes feel afraid. But you have reminded us that we're not just anybody. You have reminded us that we belong to you. Help us to live into that identity. Help us to live into that vocation. Help us to live out the stunning good news that we are your beloved sons and daughters. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.